Spaulding, this calls for the old Billy Baru. Billy. Whoa, Billy. This is a biggie.
In your life have you seen anything like that?
Hello again, everyone. This is Brian Thompson alongside Kevin Noto here. This is episode 6 of the Conquer Golf Podcast. I am very excited today. I feel like this is definitely going to be our best episode yet. We've got a good lineup. There's a repeat winner at the Dell Technologies last week, Bryson DeChambeau. We'll obviously talk about that, what sort of implications there are for the rest of the playoffs. Ryder Cup picks has been another sort of hot button issue topic in the last couple days as we've started filling out the rest of the teams with captain's picks. And then we'll look ahead to the rest of the FedEx Cup and the Ryder Cup. So, Kevin, what did you think about Bryson? How about my pick?
Yeah, that was impressive. You called the back-to-back win, which is kind of hard to see. It's always hard to win back-to-back. Not that he seemed like someone that would go out and party too hard and have a letdown because he looks like he's on a mission, but... still, really impressive. You also picked for your dead last pick. Your guy missed the cut. So, pretty much a clean sweep of your picks last week. It was you picked the winner and you picked the stinker. So,
well,
kudos.
So, I'm gonna pull a little bit of a Bryson DeChambeau and tell you that I have a secret, but I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't want to give too much away. speaking of that, like... Have you picked up on that? Like a couple times he's made a point of saying I don't want to give too much away, and I think that's really interesting. Like
it is. Yeah, I mean
it's a competitive game, but at the same time to think that he has some sort of a secret that is like gonna enhance his competitors' ability to perform if they know it.
Especially because no one swings like him, right? So if he's talking about hiding a secret, he's hiding it from an 8-year-old kid that might, like, grow up learning that way, you know? Like, it's no actual pro he's competing against would ever make... They couldn't make a change to swing like him.
Yeah.
Like, it would have to be the next generation if someone was ever going to make that change.
Yeah, I think...
It's interesting. But I've heard him say that, too. Like, he definitely holds stuff back. Yeah. So... maybe he's just way smarter than we all.
You know what I think he's doing? I think he's setting himself up to come out with the Bryson DeChambeau Secrets of Golf video series, YouTube special.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he'll be the next Ben Hogan, like, legend of, like, mastering the swing.
The hat.
He does have the hat, yeah. He truly does. But it's interesting. I mean, He's playing really, really well. He's putting well, which, you know, that's always one of the main things. His ball striking, I don't know. I mean, it looks really good. He throws big, huge, heavy divots.
He really does. It's amazing.
That's the one thing I've noticed that I don't love about his technique and form is I think he'd have a hard time ever not throwing divots when your hands are that high.
Right? Yeah, and have you noticed how much shaft lean he maintains, like, through, like, even halfway through the hit? It's a
body release.
Yeah,
there's zero hand release.
It's like negative hand release almost. It's like he's like,
I know,
it's interesting.
But I then mean, he has gears, right? So when he won like the PGA Championship long drive, and I've heard him in an interview say like, I don't swing anywhere close to 100%. Like, I completely have another gear. He's like, I can hit it pretty much as far as anyone I've kind of heard him say. Then you watch him do stuff like, and he gears it up when he has to. But it still doesn't look like he releases. So it's even more confusing to me. Because I don't know where he's getting all this power. Because physically, he's formidable, he's in shape, but he's not, like, overwhelming.
It's a secret, Kev.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's just strange. And congratulations to him. I don't know how much of this is his technique or just his work ethic and mental fortitude. But it's working, it's rolling, and single length clubs will be flying off the shelves.
I think that's going to be really interesting, is to see not only, you know, what equipment, you know, what people do with their equipment, how they start to adapt it, but to, I mean, how many people are going to be at the driving range next week with their hands super high, not using any wrist hinge
trying
on the way back?
Trying to do single plane, yeah.
Like, I know. I mean, I've got to believe that that's not the secret, because everybody already knows that he does that. So there must be something else. But I do think it's really interesting. A couple other sort of points of note with the tournament last week. It was nice to see Phil Mickelson put together a real solid weekend, and Sunday especially.
I guess Monday, but yeah.
Right. Sunday, Monday, with the Monday finish there. But he's, you know, I think when you and I were talking about him with, you know, kind of Ryder Cup implications and captain's picks, I think I was certainly on the fence a little bit if he was going to be a pick. I just felt like he was a bit inconsistent this year. Obviously a veteran, and he's made every Ryder Cup team for as long as I've been conscious of golf. So obviously he's got plenty of experience, but I think, you know, certainly validated the picks, pick a little bit, by showing he's got some good form kind of heading into this next few weeks. So we'll obviously talk a little bit more about that. What is there anything else that kind of stood out to you on the Dell Technologies before we move on to talking about Ryder Cup stuff?
I guess one more thing. The last couple, ever since the RBC, I've kind of noticed Dustin Johnson's been like putting himself there after the first and second round, and then just completely fading on Saturdays. I don't know if that's a thing. I don't know if he's worn out. But that's just what it looks like to me. It's like, and then Sunday he'll make a charge, but his moving day is moving backwards, just from what I've been noticing. So I don't know if, I'm sure it's not a thing. It's just coincidence, bad golf being played, but it's interesting. And it seems like it's been happening in the last couple tournaments here.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting. I think Dustin's the type of guy, he doesn't think about any of that stuff.
He would never recognize a pattern ever. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't think so. I mean, let's see, but you are right. He's had this marks three straight weeks he shot 72 on Saturday, or in the third round.
And every other round's been in the 60s.
Every other round's been in the 60s.
And I guess the Bridgestone, he shot that bad round on Friday.
Right.
Which was five shots and seven shots higher than his next two rounds. It's just, he's plagued by that one round. And it seems to lately been happening on moving day. And, you know, I don't know. It was just something I always look for him to make his charge. And lately I've been noticing he's been falling back. So nothing probably to note, just interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that is interesting. Cool. Well,
FedEx Cup, you want to kind of cover the next tournament? Is that what you
need? Yeah, no, well, let's talk about the Ryder Cup first, because I think there's definitely some interesting things there, and then we can kind of look ahead to the rest of the FedEx Cup and then also the Ryder Cup. We've got three U.S. picks. I think we're all pretty, nobody's really surprised about who the three picks were for the U.S. team: Tiger, Phil, and Bryson. Certainly after the last 2 weeks, Bryson was a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. And Phil, I think they're, you know, I might have been a little bit on the fence, but I think it didn't surprise me at all that he was a pick. I think when we looked at the other players that were on the list, there was nobody that we were really thinking would get picked ahead of Phil on the list of contenders there. And then obviously Tiger has been, you know, obviously in good form for the majority of the year. And, yeah, that was certainly not a surprise, I don't think, to anybody. Would have been a shock if he wasn't in the mix. So, yeah, I don't know. The European team, though, I think, as we were talking about, is definitely much more interesting from a conversation perspective. Poulter and Casey certainly are, you know, reasonable picks. I don't think anybody was too surprised about that. They've had some good form this year, have some Ryder Cup experience. I think you and I, Kevin, probably thought that the other two picks would be people that were showing a bit stronger form this year. And Thomas Bjorn went the other way and went with experience in Sergio Garcia and Henrik Stenson. What are your thoughts on sort of those picks and what that means for the European team?
Yeah, I mean, Stenson's not been playing horrible golf. He's making cuts since his elbow injury, but I don't think he's been the same. So he missed, he had to withdraw from a tournament, and since he's come back, it's been a whole lot of ho-hum. That being said, I could see an argument for him, for Sergio. I can't see an argument at all. He's missed on the PGA Tour, I believe, eight out of 15 cuts or something like that. He hasn't had a top 10 since March on the PGA Tour. On the European Tour, he's had a little bit more success playing those courses. Maybe that's the only thing you could say, is over the pond, he's had more success than on the PGA Tour. But it's been the worst year in Sergio's career, I would venture to say.
Yeah, I mean, he finished 24th at Wyndham. And
he missed the playoffs.
Yeah, hasn't had a top 10. He had the T9 at the match play, which is like sort of an interesting event to count as a top 10. But he had a couple top 10s in March. But yeah, you're right. I mean, he hasn't done anything this year on the PGA Tour, which is really interesting. I guess, especially if you're Matt Wallace, who just came off of a win, third win of the season, this weekend. What are you thinking in terms of like what you have to do in order to make the European Ryder Cup team?
You have to auto qualify. Okay, yeah. That's how I'd think if I was a couple of these people. Because clearly, at least with Thomas Bjorn, he just wanted the old guard there. That's what he proved to everyone. He wanted people that he's played with, and I'm surprised he didn't like pick Lee Westwood, to be honest with you. There's a couple people that I think have really good case to be mad. Rafa Cabrera-Bello had a good week at the Dell Technologies in the U.S., and he's just had a really solid thing. And he plays on the PGA Tour. So I have to believe that if he played full-time on the Euro Tour, he would have most definitely qualified with flying colors.
Yeah.
So you have Cabrera-Bello that has every right. Like Brian said, Matt Wallace, extremely, he did what he had to do to qualify for that team. He won the week before the picks were due, and it's his third win of the season, and he won by birding, like, I believe four out of the six holes to get into a playoff, both holes in the playoff. It was the most, ready-for-the-moment situation I've seen.
Yeah.
It's
pretty mind-boggling to me. I mean,
yeah,
it's quite a stretch. I mean, I think even Stenson is a bit of a stretch.
I agree.
And I mean, Sergio's all the way down at number 24. I can't even fathom that. I know that he's got a rich history of being successful in the Ryder Cup, but I don't know. It just seems like at some point, You've got to get some fresh faces in there.
And, where is it? Is it in France?
Yeah, it's somewhere in Paris. I forget.
So that doesn't even make sense to me. Yeah, maybe I could see if it was
like Valderrama or something in Spain, and it was like
something. Maybe. Yeah. And I could get it, but
France is next door. It's,
but still, I feel like they're more partial to him than he's not going to ride the home.
Yeah.
I mean, home crowd momentum.
He might as well pick Jean Vandeveld, the Frenchman. God, that is surprising. And I mean, your favorite Euro, Thomas Peters, he's ahead of Sergio Garcia
on the
he's ahead Euro of Ian Poulter.
So there's two European has two lists. They have European points and world points.
Okay, fair enough, but even so,
and Thomas Peters is pretty far back on the world points. I'm just saying, after last Ryder Cup and then current form, at least he makes an appearance here and there and scares the leaderboard.
Yeah.
He adds a dynamic that, quite frankly, none of their captains' picks added.
Yeah.
Ian Poulter, Bunty, Sergio, fairly bunty. Henrik doesn't play aggressively. Yeah. He's more of a 3-wood, 6-iron than driver 9-iron kind of a guy.
Tactician.
Yeah, and then Paul Casey's just a good solid golfer, but it's interesting, and I think there's going to be, especially if Europe loses, and if Sergio lays an egg, this will be a blunder.
He's carrying a lot of pressure. Sergio is.
That's the other thing. I'm like, sure he doesn't feel like he belongs, right?
I wouldn't. If I was on the team,
And that matters, you know? Mentally, he's going to feel, like you just said, a lot more pressure.
Yeah. Is Sergio still using the long putter?
No.
No?
So he is, I think he's claw.
He's claw now. He's
claw. I think he has just a normal super stroke grip and just, yeah.
Sidetrack for a second. What do you think of the long putter and, like, what's happened to it since this anchoring ban? Like, I still see a lot of guys that are doing this, like, you know, the anchor that's, like, mm-hmm. it's not really anchored technically, but it's, like, essentially the same putting stroke.
But an inch off the sternum?
Yeah.
Or
even a half an inch or a quarter of an inch. It's
like Adam Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of bothers me. You know what it reminds me of? Mm-hmm. It's sort of like when you were in, like, first grade,
mm-hmm.
and there was, like, a little kid that sat next to you in class, and he was really annoying, and he kept touching you, and then you were like, don't touch me, and he, like, would hold his finger, like, a quarter of an inch away from you, and he's like, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you. And it's like, oh my gosh, so annoying, right?
Yeah, like, it kind of doesn't defeat the purpose of the rule, but a little bit, to some extent.
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea is to get people to make a golf stroke. Like, that's what I thought the spirit of that rule was.
Yeah.
And that we were sort of, you know, collectively as a governing body, they were saying this, you know, broomstick thing is not a golf stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you've got the guys that, you know, even like Bryson DeChambeau and Matt Kuchar and Webb Simpson are all doing the sort of anchoring to the forearm. And
yeah,
like, I don't know. I really, it just makes me so uncomfortable to see all that. Like, I really just wish, I don't know what they could do. Maybe they could add a rule that says, you know, clubs that are less than X degrees have to be, you know, no more than this length, mm-hmm. or, you know, both your hands have to be touching adjacent to one another on the club or something. I don't know. I mean, do you think that that's a problem? Doesn't bother you?
It probably doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you. I think when they changed the rule, I mean, I'm sure they didn't foresee it, but anchoring to the forearm, to me, like, what the rules technically, you can't anchor to your body above the elbow. Is that?
Oh, you know, I don't know if that makes sense based on what I've seen out there.
Yeah, so all these players, they take a club, they work it right up to the fold on their elbow, and then they anchor it to their forearm.
Yeah.
Because they have wrist breakdown. You know, that's sure. what I'm assuming. It at least solves you breaking down at the wrist.
Yeah.
But I wish they would have cured that. If someone goes out there with a broomstick and holds it an inch off their chest, I don't know. Whatever. I don't like it, but I doubt anyone doing that will ever be the best putter on tour. You know, it's not like a secret sauce to, like, be better. It's still, your best putters will still probably be people who are just good putters.
Yeah.
Like, it's a more of a last resort, and it allows people that would not have their card to at least compete occasionally.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But the anchor to the forearm, I don't know.
That's becoming more and more popular.
I know. I mean,
a lot of people are doing that. Good players.
It might make sense, yeah.
I think it definitely makes sense.
It's like the belly putter, you know? Like,
once, I think it's even better than the belly putter.
Yeah, it probably is. But I remember Dave Pelz watching a thing when belly putter was in its peak, and he said, if I was going to teach my child, like, if I had a child and I was going to teach him how to putt, he said, scientifically, cross-handed belly putter is the most sound way to putt now.
Yeah.
He said, if you grew up putting that way and that's how you putt, you're probably going to have a lot more consistent stroke than anyone else.
Interesting. And
I'm like, wow. So I think studies like that made him not anchor it, but now it's like maybe this lock forearm thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I blame Kuchar, but
It's all Kuchar's fault.
So, oh, man. It's interesting. We could touch on U.S. Ryder Cup, too.
Yeah.
We got one more spot open.
Is there really any doubt about who it is?
I don't think so. I mean, it's got to be Tony, right?
I think so.
He's playing great, too.
He really is. I mean, the only one I could see maybe getting picked ahead of him is Xander Schauffele. I think maybe if Xander Schauffele wins this week at the BMW, then you could make a case that he should be picked over Finau. Finau hasn't had a win this year, which maybe that is an overemphasized point about this. But I think, yeah.
Is he the only one that could sneak his way in with a win? What if Snacker wins again?
No? I don't think so.
Too little, too late?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, that would be an interesting one, because, I mean, Snacker, did he play last week? I don't know if he actually played last week.
I don't know if he played either.
I think he took the week off because he had, like, a...
So then if he wins, he would win twice out of the last three events he played, which is nice.
Yeah, but he also took a week off because he was...
Injured.
Or... resting or something. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I agree with you. Maybe if he won, but I don't even know that. I honestly think, unless Tony Finau shoots two rounds in the 80s or gets injured, it's got to be his.
Yeah.
No matter what happens.
Yeah, I think so. Dude, even if he gets injured, a guy top 10 the Masters with like a dislocated ankle, for goodness sakes.
That was really impressive.
It was insane.
Yeah.
And... I mean, to think that he walked that course and played on... I don't know. That was outrageous. I think, to me, he's a slam dunk. I thought he was more of a slam dunk than Phil Mickelson, the way that he's played. And he's just been very consistent this year. Like I say, hasn't broken through yet for the win, but it would not surprise me at all if he won this week at Aronimink. He's just played really well.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a guy that hits it farther with a shorter swing?
No one.
I mean...
It doesn't make sense.
It's crazy how much torque he can put in that.
And it doesn't even look fast.
Yeah.
That's the even scarier part. He must move it through the zone, and he must gain, like, continually build speed throughout his short little swing, because there's very little jerk from the top. The transition's fairly smooth.
Yeah.
I don't know how he hits it so far.
It's...
Because his swing speed looks average to me. But...
A lot of whip at the bottom.
There must be a lot of heat coming late
on
that swing. So, names that got left off really quick, we'll just touch on. First time Matt Kuchar probably hasn't qualified in a while, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, we talked about him as a pick. He just hasn't played that well this year.
I think he got named captain.
Yep, vice captain.
Zach Johnson got named assistant captain.
Yep.
There's one more. I don't know who. But, I mean, the other name up there, Schauffele, would be next person that didn't get picked. And then you have Kevin Kisner, which, if you had asked me earlier this year, I would have told you he's going to make the team. But the last 4 or 5 months have been pretty unfriendly to Kisner. He just hasn't been there that often. Kyle Stanley, Brian Harman, Kevin Na. No one else. No one else that you'd think should have made the team. So, first time in a while, Zach Johnson hasn't made the team, I bet, too, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
He's been kind of a stalwart.
Yeah.
Not that Jimmy Walker has, but once he won his PGA championship a couple years ago, I would have put money that he would have made the team again. So, it's interesting. But the U.S. team, pretty solid.
Is this the best U.S. Ryder Cup team ever? I think it might be.
Yeah, because... Your captain's pick is Tiger coming back into form. It's Phil, and it's a guy coming off 2 wins. So if nothing else, your 3 captain's picks you have so far are by far and away the best.
Yes.
Of all time. You have tons of experience, and then you have a rookie coming off 2 wins who knows a secret no one else does.
Yes, indeed he does. I wonder if he's going to share that secret with his U.S. teammates, considering the season will be over. I mean, yeah, I think it has to be the best team. I mean, even just looking at the people that qualified, I mean, you could argue...
Two in the world, Brooks and Dustin, right?
What about JT? He's like number 3, isn't he? Or
he's got to be...
he's got to be up there. He was number two for a while. Yeah. He was number one for a while.
Yeah.
You've got the Masters champ. You got Ricky Fowler, who's been coming off that oblique strain. I don't know if he's playing this week or not. Hopefully he is. And then, I mean, you could argue that your worst player on the team is a three-time Masters champion in Bubba Watson. Like, I mean, he's the
Because Webb's in good form.
Webb's in good form. Jordan, even though he's had a rough year, is, I think, has generally played probably a bit better than Bubba on the whole this year, although Bubba's had a few wins this year.
Yeah. Three wins.
Yeah, he's had three wins. That's kind of crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah, he's like very quietly had three wins. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, those guys, I don't remember ever looking at a U.S. team and being like, wow, you know? Because I think you're absolutely right. It's like, this is sort of like a generational all-star team in a way. Like, you have the absolute best players of this past, like, 5 years and the best players of the 10 years before that.
Yeah, with kind of Bubba and Tiger and Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I think it's kind of scary. I think, you know, on the other hand, I think Europe, a lot of people are kind of poo-pooing them. I think they've got a really strong team. I mean, obviously, these are the best players from Europe. I'm not a big fan of a lot of the captain's picks. At least, well, two of them, Sergio and Stenson. Stenson I like.
Stenson's
I could have. I understand that one. Sergio just perplexes me. Yeah. But
you have Fleetwood, who's one of the best players in the world.
Definitely.
Rory always seems to show up.
Yeah. Justin Rose, Rahm.
As anyone, yeah.
Those guys.
Rose, Rahm, top 10 players. I don't know if they are, but they are. You know. Norin, he's played on a big stage now.
Yeah.
Tyrell Hatton.
He's been playing well.
But he's a good player. Well. And then you have, you know, the Kingslayer and Ian Poulter.
Exactly. He turns into
the most hated man in America every other year for one weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it will be interesting, especially as we, you know, see how these players perform over not only this week at the BMW, but also at the Tour Championship leading into the Ryder Cup. Which leads me to transitioning on to this coming week, speaking of the BMW Championship. What are your thoughts on just who's going to play well, what you think is sort of relevant to talk about as it relates to, you know, kind of progressing through the FedEx Cup playoffs here? I was looking at the list of players kind of on the bubble of that top 30. You've got some kind of interesting. Schnedeker is one. He's just outside top 30, 32. Good finish would put him into the Tour Championship. Obviously, he's a former FedEx Cup champ, so that's sort of an interesting storyline. Yeah,
Tiger, Ricky, and Jordan, 25, 26, 27.
Is there a scenario where Jordan Spieth doesn't make it?
Tour Championship?
Yeah. I think that's unlikely.
It's very unlikely.
It seems crazy to think that he might not, but. Yeah, he'll make it.
He's too consistent.
Yeah, he'll make it. I mean, Ricky Fowler didn't even play, and he only dropped four spots in the standings.
That's true. Tiger stayed right there. He'll probably make it. Honestly, this FedEx playoffs, more than any, has kind of been like a changing of the guard for me. Out with the old-ish, and then in with the new. Not through the first two rounds, but definitely on this cut, you know, you say goodbye to Jimmy Walker, Matt Kuchar, Streelman, Charlie Hoffman, J.B. Holmes, people like that. And, you know, even people like Russell Henley, names you've heard for 8 or 9 years that have been stalwarts, Ryan Moore. And then you bring in a bunch of names that are, you know, they've been on tour for less than 4 years. J.J. Spahn, Keith Mitchell,
yeah,
Abraham Anser.
Aaron Wise.
Yeah, Bo Hostler. Like, yeah. People like this. So, to me, it's like the people that you see sprinkling on top of leaderboards are changing from that group we used to see to a new group. And the best golfers are still best golfers, and they have been for the last 10 years, you know.
Yeah.
But that next pack, the people who could win any given week, they're kind of starting to change a little bit, you know.
Do you think that anybody... Who are you picking from today... Where we are with the standings today. Who's your FedEx Cup champ?
I mean,
it's really hard not to.
I don't know who plays it. Who plays well at the Tour Championship? Kind of everyone, right?
Well, I mean, there's only 30 guys there. I think this has the opportunity to be like one of the most interesting Tour Championships that we've ever had. because a lot of times it gets to be a little bit anticlimactic. You know, you've got people at the top that have sort of cemented themselves. But I think now, if you look at the bottom portion of that top 30, you've got Rory, Tiger, Fowler, and Spieth, 24 through 27. Mm-hmm. You know, if they have a decent week this week at the BMW, move up a few spots,
they could win.
Yeah, and then win Tour Championship. They could conceivably still win the FedEx Cup. That said, I think, I mean, Bryson, to me, he seems like, obviously two wins, and it would seem like maybe a little bit unreasonable that he would keep that up, but I don't know. I mean,
if I had to pick, I'd say Justin Rose.
Interesting.
Just because.
He had that one, I don't know what, he had some sort of injury briefly, right? And he took a week off for, I think it was, he had some back spasms or something.
Yeah.
And so he kind of like, not fell off, but just kind of took a week or two to kind of come back from that. But he was playing very well before that. He played obviously well last week, being a runner up.
Yeah.
Certainly I could see it. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. I mean, the week before he missed a cut, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, he comes back, takes a second, gearing up for Ryder Cup. He wants to win a FedEx Cup.
So. Yeah.
No one screams consistency to me more than Justin Rose.
Interesting. Yeah. No, I think that's...
Who do you got? You got Bryson?
Yeah. You know what I would like to see? This sounds kind of weird. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'd like to see Bryson sweep the FedEx Cup playoffs.
That is that will never be done again. That, if he does it.
That would be unbelievable. But I think it's possible. I mean, he's playing well enough. Yeah.
I mean, you can't birdie them all if you don't birdie the first two, right?
So. That's right. Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think that it would be hard to sustain that sort of...
If anyone can, someone him. Like, someone that quirky and weird, they won't even think about it. They're just thinking about their mission.
Yes. You know? Exactly. So. Exactly.
That's interesting.
All right. Well, what about picks this week? Obviously, we talked last week. You had, I think, who's your winner was?
Pull up here. I had Paul Casey. He took T21 at -8, and then Danny Lee. I had to miss the cut or to take last. He finished T49 at -3.
Okay, so I mean, he wasn't
not that bad.
No, that's you're not trending great. In the right direction not great, now, Cap. This bad. Is good. He didn't win the tournament, luckily. That's
yeah, exactly. Brian had Bryson. Kudos, winner, chicken dinner. And he had Kelly Kraft to take last, and Kelly missed a cut. So he didn't take last, but I'd say an MC.
Yeah, and
this cut is as good as you could expect for picking a last place in a 100-person field.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Well done. The perfecto.
I'll take it.
Okay, this week, what do we got? Aronimink. Don't know too much. Looks like a tree-lined classic course. High rough. Maybe elevated greens. Big fuzzy trees everywhere. So
I'm gonna go first.
Do it.
Dead last. I hate to say this. He's I'm taking Ted Potter Jr. Dead last. He's last in the standings.
He's the bubble boy right now.
He's the bubble boy, and he's moving the wrong direction. He was 62nd last week. He had the win at Pebble this year. And he hasn't done much since then. He was a mini tour legend when I was playing on the mini tours. He was, obviously he's got plenty of game, but I think this week he's my last place pick.
Nice, I like it.
First place pick. We talked about him last week briefly, and this might surprise you. I'm picking Rory McIlroy to win this week.
We
talked about him kind of not being somebody you think about, but I think this is the exact kind of week when Rory McIlroy just comes out of nowhere.
Best driver in the world.
Yeah. Those are my picks.
Okay. My dead last pick. Ches Reavie wins that award. He's for sure going to take dead last.
First.
This is kind of weak. Yeah, I mean, past results, looking at this.
Tell me you're picking.
Leishman won it last year. I was kind of leaning towards Leishman, but
ooh.
I don't have him for a reap. Let's go with Francesco Molinari.
Francesco.
Yeah.
It's going to make the Euros relevant again.
I feel like he's going to hit every fairway. He He might be the first man to hit 100% on fairways.
Yeah. No, could be. I think that's it. I mean, we're getting into the time of year where it's hard to have a bad pick. Yeah. So I think our last place picks are much more challenging than our first place picks. But well, it'll be interesting to see that, and we'll set ourselves up for a good finale. I think this has the opportunity to be the best FedEx Cup playoffs that we've ever had, the most interesting. And so time will tell. Should be a good week. That's all I've got for now. Anything else? Parting thoughts, Kev?
That's it. All right. So, talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for listening. Enjoy every shot out there.
I'm just sitting here in front of you guys. I'm talking. Just hanging out here.